This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, presented by Northland Fishing Tackle, the show that covers everything happening on the lakes, in the woods, on the trails, and in the parks. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by Northwoods Lumber in Black Duck in Bemidji, Josh Miller Whitetail Properties, and Ace on the Lake in Bemidji. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is also sponsored by Nye Bottling, Paul Bunyan Country's distributor of Pepsi products, Clearbrook Electric, and Timberline Sports in Black Duck, as well as First National Bank Bemidji, Don DeLinger GM, and DS Beverages, Paul Bunyan Country's distributor of Anheuser-Busch. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is also sponsored by The Liquor Lodge in Turtle River and Ray's Sport and Marine. Today on the podcast, Jason Freed of the Walleye Alliance and Leisure Outdoor Adventures is here to talk about both. But first, if you love the outdoors and are looking for ways to align your education with future employment in the trades, Northwest Technical College in Bemidji is for you. Explore state-of-the-art technical education in six career paths: automotive, building trades, business, health, childcare, and manufacturing technology, all in the heart of Minnesota's Northwoods, surrounded by more than 400 lakes and, of course, limitless forests. The shortest path to your dream job and a good bite is at NTC, Bemidji's Technical College. Learn more today. Visit ntcmn.edu. Well, we're checking in with Jason Freed from Leisure Outdoor Adventures and from the Walleye Alliance. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me, Kev.
Well, we've got Walleye Alliance's big spring banquet coming up, something that used to be kind of a staple. I had to take a few years off, and like so many other things, we're ramping it back up finally.
Yeah, you know, the Walleye Alliance is, for years ago, there was one in Brainerd, then it kind of went away for a little while, and then about 5 years ago, we kind of got the ball rolling again, and Dave Blazing kind of helped spearhead it. And then it would have been spring of 2019. We decided to bring back the spring banquet, which is what they used to have. And it was a huge success for kind of getting it rolling again. And then we were rolling again, and we had it all planned and we had everything going. Then obviously March 2020 came along and everybody's lives changed for a little while. And so we had to take a couple years off from it, but we're back in the saddle here, and we're back selling tickets, and it's going well, and we got vendors and everybody all lined up, and we got Mr. Kev Jackson coming to NTC, and it's going to be a good event.
I will do what I do for the Paul Bunyan Country Show. I'll introduce people who know what they're talking about and let them tell us important things.
You are the voice of the North Country, Kev.
Well, listen, Jason, the Walleye Alliance, is that something that was created in the Brainerd area? Is it a Brainerd area group, or is it like a chapter of a national organization?
So it's kind of a, in a sense, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, there's some other groups throughout the state, so it's more of, I'd say it's a regional, it's kind of a regional deal for Brainerd, but there's other groups, like Fargo-Moorhead has a Walleye chapter, the Twin Cities has a Walleye chapter, and then Brainerd, and so it's everybody kind of has the same essentially kind of setup as to what it is in terms of, you know, a group that provides educational opportunities, provides social gatherings, tournaments, and just, you know, a way to really advocate fishing and conservation within the area. And that's the other piece too, is the conservation piece. And so, like, many, you know, down in the cities, it's, you know, a large group with Minnetonka, and then over in Fargo with, you know, Scott Brewer and Kyle Agri and Brenton Hill. You know, those guys are all, you know, kind of dealing with that area and you know, the Devil, you know, more so like Devil's Lake, and then obviously, you know, the whole Detroit Lakes and that whole area. And then we're obviously more, you know, within the Brainerd Lakes area. And so, it's all the same concepts. It's just everybody's kind of has their own little regional part and regional spin to it. It's not like a national chapter or anything, like, you know, group organization. It's more of a, here's a concept that works for our area. Go ahead and try duplicating it within your area. And so I kind of foresee in the upcoming years, I mean, obviously conservation is becoming a very big topic, you know, within our fishing world right now. And so to have these groups to not only provide an opportunity for fishermen to get together and provide educational opportunities to learn how to become a better fisherman, but also to look into the conservation piece. And that's a big thing for us is, you know, I'll just use it as an example, but, you know, Pelican Lake, which is up near Breezy Point, for years in the Brainerd Lakes area was one of the best walleye lakes in the area. And then about, I'd say 8 to 9 years ago, it took a definite downward spiral, and various reasons. The fishery changed with zebra mussels, but also cormorants were on the lake, and so people on the lake were seeing a definite downward cycle, as well as fishing guides and tournament people. And so in the last now 4 years, 5 years, we have actively started to raise money to utilize towards stocking efforts. And we host our fall tournament every year out on Pelican Lake, and we work with the Pelican Lake Lake Association, and we have been working on putting, fingerlings and such in the lake, and we are now seeing a really great progress with the lake, and it's really coming back, and the walleye population's coming back, and the people on the lake are excited, and as well as we're excited, because we all kind of came together for a common cause and raised funds through our banquets and our winter events and our tournaments and everything to help make that happen for Pelican Lake.
So, cormorants on the lake. Where have we heard that before, Jason?
Yeah, no kidding. Been there, done that.
Well, it's good to see some things turning around there for sure. So you have the spring banquet. Do you have like monthly meetings, or is it just a few other big events throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, so we have a board, and I sit on the board along with about 7 to 8 other people, and we pretty much try to meet monthly. Obviously, when summer comes, a few of us are fishing guides, and obviously everybody, diehard fishermen come open water season, but we meet, I would say, probably 9 or 10 out of 12 months a year. We meet once a month. We kind of usually have an agenda we work through, and we work, obviously, are hosting our events. So our big events are obviously our spring banquet is probably our number one, obviously, kind of fundraiser, to really kind of, help us have, funds in the account to do things. We also try to give back to the youth. We work with the high school fishing team. We host some events that way. But then we have a spring tournament that we have on Gull Lake. And that is always the weekend after opener. And then we also have a fall tournament that is on Pelican Lake. And both those are just, they're typically, local people. And we get anywhere from, 25 to, 40 boats. The Pelican Lake tournament used to be like 65 to 70 boats. And so we're hoping to get back to that point someday. But so we host those two tournaments, and then usually we host a winter gathering that is more just like bring in a speaker. We did a couple years ago before COVID with Tony Roach came in and spoke for that. And we usually give away, whenever we have these, we always give away some stuff, and we kind of make it an educational and a social gathering. And then usually once or twice a summer we'll have something where we host like a little hey, we're all going to meet at the Federal Dam Access on Gull Lake. We're going to go out and have a little fun little three-hour, fun tournament. And so we're going to come back in just, more so fun and sit at the access and just kind of catch up on life and everything. So it's a combination of all, like I said, 5 or 6 things throughout the year. And then we really try to just educate people. And, if you sign up for our tournaments, for example, that part of that is then becoming a member of the Walleye Alliance. And then we, try to communicate with people through our Facebook page, our Brainerd Walleye Alliance Facebook page, through emails, newsletters, different things like that.
So there's no fee to join other than being in one of the tournaments.
No, you can join you have a fee. Honestly, I can't think of that right off the top of my head. I wish I would have looked ahead of time. But you can be a member without having to fish a tournament. It's just, it's kind of one of the incentives to fish the tournament.
Sure.
If you fish, you automatically are, part of that, fee for the tournament just, is now a member of the club. So with membership, obviously fluctuates, especially the last couple of years, but, I typically, and we're anywhere from, I would say, 300 to 400 members, who throughout the year and they kind of do different things and are part of different things, but we kind of have our good solid group, but it's really started to catch and grow, I would say, especially in the last couple of years. And I think it's more we have more of a presence, within, on social media and being more active throughout things. I think we're just going to see it grow more and more.
I've talked to Nate several times about the Walleye Alliance, and I know one of the things you guys are working with the DNR about is the possibility of a 4-fish walleye limit statewide. Where are we in that process?
It's a great question. We met last week about it, and I haven't heard a whole lot of updates. It's it's definitely a hot button topic.
Oh yeah,
funny how that works, and it's been interesting to see the discussions and everything online, and people voicing their opinions both for and against, and people who are kind of neutral. And I will say Nate's done a lot of work, you know, and I think it. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about, you know, what it's about and why it is, but I think deep down it's about, you know, preserving our fisheries and you know, we can argue science and all those different things when it comes down to it, but people are just better fishermen now, and they are, and with technology and with social media and bigger boats and bigger engines and there's so many variables now that go into fishing, and I think that, you know, for us, the conservation piece is a really, really important part. And, you know, we could fall down the rabbit hole of the science, and I'm going to leave the science up to the scientists, the biologists, and I think, you know, the biggest thing is to look at this. We all have the same goal in mind, is that that's to have great fisheries and to be able to enjoy them now and enjoy it at our kids and our grandkids and everything down the line. And I think if I could say anything to everybody, it's just about, you know, let's put politics aside and let's look to the future and let's trust our biologists and what they do. And, you know, everybody can have their own opinion, but I think in the big picture, I think we all want to be able to go out on our favorite lake and in 10 years from now and go catch walleyes. And, you know, whether you put two walleyes in your live well or six walleyes in your live well or four walleyes, it's about catching, not always keeping. And I think that's, and as a guide, I mean, I think we see that a lot and, you know, the conservation piece. And I think even us as guides, and I know I could speak to our guide team, as we look at things and be on the water and, you know, you go out and catch, I got three people in my boat and we're on Leech Lake. We can keep 12 walleyes, you know, but, you know, most people, if they go home to eat that night, they're not going to probably be able to eat all 12 of those walleyes. And,
right.
You know, I think we all know there's a lot of fish that sit in freezers. You know,
yeah,
and then end up getting tossed, you do the math, you think about how many of those get tossed, and think about, man, I wish that fish could have just stayed in the system. Pretty rude is kind of spearhead the effort, and typical politics that can sometimes get bogged down, I said Nate's worked really, really hard on it, and we've all kind of just been part of the process of, you know, being educated on it and such, but you know, people are working hard, and I think the intent is really, really good. And that's what people are hoping for, and my fingers are crossed.
It's the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. I'm talking with Jason Freed from Leisure Outdoor Adventures and the Walleye Alliance. We've got a lot more to come with Jason next.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley, Bemidji Area Fishing Guide. I'd like to invite you to come to our beautiful town of Bemidji. We've got over 400 lakes in our area teeming with walleye, pike, muskie, bass, and panfish. We're the gateway to the Chippewa National Forest. We've got miles upon miles of biking and hiking trails. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Fine shops and eateries in downtown Bemidji. Headwaters of the mighty Mississippi at Itasca State Park. Beautiful resorts, hotels, and bed and breakfasts. Visit Bemidji one step further.
This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. I'm checking in with Jason Freed of Leisure Outdoor Adventures and the Walleye Alliance.
So, Jason, you were talking about being better anglers now, and that's just a fact. I just, you know, anecdotally, as a guy who's been, you know, doing fishing interviews for 30-something years now, you know, I made it a little bit after the 4th of July back in the day. It was pretty hard scraping together fishery reports, mainly because there weren't as many bass anglers then, and the walleye stuff just shut down. But now, you know, all through August, in the doggest of dog days, you're still going to get positive walleye reports. Not nearly as many, but you're going to find some, and that just didn't used to happen.
No, it's really because we are now getting and doing things and going places and literally fishing structure that, well, A, just go back to mapping. I mean, mapping itself is probably one of the greatest pieces of technology that we've had in the last 20 years. And, I mean, think about a lake like Leech Lake or even some of these smaller lakes. Like, there were years where there are spots where people did not know about unless you were maybe a local or somebody who came across that spot. And that was, like, your little secret spot. It was a little hump out in the middle of nowhere or a little rock pile or whatever. And or even an ice fish. You know, I think about these small lakes in the winter that never were mapped. And now all of a sudden we have detailed 1 foot contour maps with shade relief. We can pull up Navionics on our phones, and we can literally just sit there at night and look at spots and find spots and spots that were once never mapped that are now mapped that always held fish. And I mean, now it's just the amount of information that you can collect now. And I mentioned, like, you know, back in the day, if you were on Leech Lake, for example, and it was blowing 25 miles an hour, and all that was around were 16-foot boats, you weren't going to go out to the middle of Leech Lake unless you were a pretty brave soul. And now you got a 20-foot boat with a 300-horsepower motor. You can go out there, and you can get out there safely, and you can fish, and now you can go fish that probably weren't getting touched on certain days. And so now I always say fish aren't safe that much anymore. And they're not safe all year round, and because of technology. And think about ice fishing and ice castles and GPS and augers and all these, you know, snowmobiles and, you know, all these things now that people can go anywhere and get to any place and find things and break things down. And then, you know, now you throw in forward facing technology, you know, like Active Target from Lowrance or LiveScope from Garmin or whatever. And now fish are like, holy cow, there's people here all the time now. And, and I say too, you know, another big thing is, you know, I mean, the adaptation of ice fishing and has really changed the game, because you can go, you mean, you think about in the middle, and I thought brought this up the other day, you think about in the open water season, how many boats do you see out on the water at midnight?
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
Right? And now, but you think about ice fishing, and those people are camping out on the lake for 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
And they can go on a spot, and they can do those things because they got the mapping and they have the plow and they have the means to get to those places. It's changed, you know, and it really has changed the game. And obviously technology and social media has been huge. You know, people, I mean, sometimes people laugh when people shade out stuff on the backgrounds of their photos, but they're doing it for a reason, because there's landmarks in the background or a cabin that people can associate, because they know that if they take that picture and people can identify that, next day there are going to be people there.
Right.
And, you know, so it's just the amount of stuff that you can gain now from a knowledge standpoint, the technology to use to catch the fish, to find the fish, and everything. It's really changed the name of the game. And, you know, I mean, no longer the day are you taking off in the access and triangulating your way out to a spot and lining up with this pine tree and this rock pile. And you can go and you can drive right to the spot and you can start fishing right now. And if they're not there, you just keep driving around until you find them. And, you know, I just think that the learning curve is far less steep than what it used to be.
That's a fact. The one thing that may help, you know, as we go along here is just the influx of more species that more and more people are being introduced to. The growing popularity of bass fishing in the winter, the growing popularity of eel pout fishing. You know, things that we never talked about, you know, are now very popular. And maybe that can also be helpful and maybe taking a little pressure off the walleyes anyway.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, it's funny, I have good friends who are bass fishermen, and we always kind of rib each other about, you know, you're a bass snob or you're a walleye snob or, you know, but you're for sure. I mean, I think now fishing has become literally a year round thing. I mean, you know, I think there used to be times where you could kind of take time off, and really the only time off you have now is in terms of lakes or is when the ice is literally going off and it's not safe enough to be out there. But then what do people do? They just go to fish rivers. Mm-hmm. You know, and they go find places that there is water that they can fish. And it's a 365-day thing now. And I do think that people are getting more and more of an open mind about just catching fish.
Yeah.
You know, I know as a guide, I mean, we a lot of times we get those trips where people are adamant they want to catch walleyes. I fish a lot of lakes, and I fish a lot of lakes around the Hackensack area as well. And that's been one of my most favorite things about being a guide is, I mean, you do get those times in July and August where you know you're going to have to go out. You know you can scrape together some walleyes, but you know, they get the people and they're like, I just want to catch walleyes. That's what I want to do. And then I'll throw out there, well, we can go do that, and we might have a lot of success. Or we can go to this lake, and we can catch a variety. We can catch some walleyes, maybe. We can catch smallmouths, might catch some largemouth, might catch some panfish. But I always tell them, like, but the rod's going to be bending, and that's – and. They kind of give you the, all right, well, we'll give it a try. And when they go out and then you get done, you have a great day a bend in the rod, and they're like, that was a blast, you know, and so you kind of expose them to, hey, sometimes it feels the tug is the drug, and people just love catching fish.
They
and
do.
I think people are enjoying the fact that, you know, I've taken guide trips. One of my most memorable guide trips is when we got on a whitefish bite in August and casting for whitefish and vertical jigging whitefish. And then those customers every year after have said, let's do that one day. You know, I mean, who would have thought, right? And then their wildest dreams, they come from South Dakota. They would have never thought they're going to go catch a whitefish. And we just happened to stumble on it, and it's a blast, right?
Yeah.
And so, but it was all about catching fish and having fun.
When it comes to that statewide four walleye limit, you obviously, as a guide who's guided a lot on Leech Lake, that's just one of a number of our, you know, diamond lakes, I would call them, walleye lakes, that have special regs, and it sure hasn't seemed to stop people from fishing those lakes.
No. I mean, honestly, dry pass Lake Mille Lacs,
yeah,
the month of May and June, and you can keep one fish, and mm-hmm. the accesses are packed. And they're packed because, A, they can go out and catch a lot of walleye, usually, and B, it's great smallmouth fishing. And so you're right. I mean, I think what you see is a lot of these lakes, you know, and if you know, I've listened to the DNR talk about, you know, the Leech and the Winnies and the Reds and those lakes, many of them have special regs with the exception of Winnie for the most part, because you can keep six fish on Winnie still, but they have obviously their own slot. But
right.
Point being is you can go catch fish. But the majority, what's interesting is the majority of our harvest still comes from those lakes. I can't what the percentage is, but it's very high of our walleye harvest that they estimate comes from those kind of what you would call diamond lakes. But yet people still keep coming back because they know they can keep, you know, I can keep four fish, no big deal, but I can go out and catch 30.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And I have a chance to catch a trophy, you know, and so it, you know, it's double-edged. Obviously, everybody has their own opinion on it, but, you know, sometimes facts are facts. And like I said, ultimately, when it comes down to it, I think people just like catching fish. And if you can keep a meal here and there and enjoy it with the family and rock on, you know. But I don't know too many people that eat fish every single day.
Well, listen, Jason, we're getting ready. Theoretically, we're going to have a saltwater season at some point, and you'll be out guiding people. If people are looking for a trip, how do they get started with Leech Outdoor Adventures? And you specifically, you're going to have a couple of times up north on Vermilion too, right?
Yeah, no. So if people want to reach out to Leisure Outdoors, they can find us obviously on our website, leisureoutdooradventures.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. And also our phone number is 1-855-LOA-HOOK, H-O-O-K. And yeah, we've got a whole team of guys. We've got, I think, 15 guides now. And everybody's kind of got their own niche. It's kind of fun. And walleyes, muskies, bass. I mean, Tim Hanske will fish for anything that swims. But yeah, I'm excited. I'll be back up on Vermilion again this summer, along with Logan Wadlich, who is currently down in Florida, envious. He's fishing tarpon, and he's a guide down there. But we'll be up on Vermilion. I'll be up there starting June. I'll be on Leech all the way through May. And then starting in June, I'll be up on Vermilion pretty much throughout the whole summer, and then be back in August to start football. But Vermilion, if you ever get a chance and you want to do a guide trip up on Vermilion, we'd love to take you. It's an absolutely beautiful lake. It's got great fishing. It's a great multi-species lake. You want to come up to Vermilion, give us a call. We'd love to get you out. And I'll put a little plug in here as we wrap it up. But if anybody follows our YouTube page, we have our Guide Wars episode. Have you ever watched that, Kev?
I have, yes.
Yeah, so tonight, actually, is our premiere of the our first episode of our Guide Wars from last summer. We kind of held on to it at the vault, and it's a Team Leech Lake versus Team Winnie versus Team Vermilion multi-species beatdown. So we'll see you. And the best part about it, you probably won't believe me when I say this, none of us on our team, on our whole guide team, know who won.
Oh, really?
We held it a secret. And so we do not. There is only two or three people know who won, and they're the people who actually produced the show.
Okay, I have
so
to watch
we're
that tonight
to see how that all plays out and see which team pulled out the most points by catching the most of the different species you can catch.
Very cool. Before we wrap it up, Walleye Alliance banquet. How do we get tickets for that? Where's it going to be? I know it's on the 21st.
Yep, Thursday, April 21st. It is at the Woods. the Bee Mary, which is just northeast of Brainerd. Has your in-between Brainerd and Merrifield. Beautiful spot. We've got a they got a big kind of conference hall there that we're in a different building. Great food, exceptional food. And the best thing to do is just go to the Brainerd Walleye Alliance Facebook page, and all the information is there, and then there'll be a link to register online and get your ticket, and we'll have we got a lot of prizes, a lot of fishing prizes. We got some fishing packages, some guide trips to give away, all kinds of things. So it definitely is worth your while to come on down for it.
All right. I have to talk a little football with you, though. One of our, I don't know if you saw, one of our assistant coaches, Jim McKeon, won the... Yes, he is. He is a great man. He won that award for outstanding assistant coaches. But have you seen the picture on Facebook?
I saw, yes. I didn't look real hard, but I saw the whole group of coaches there.
I barely recognize him because I think that is the first time, whether the dead of winter or the heat of summer, that I have seen Jim McKeon wearing long pants.
Well, you know, those Bemidji guys, they're hardy out
there. Well, at least he is. I saw him. He was out one time with his kids sliding in the winter, and he was wearing shorts.
That's when you know you're a hardy Northwoodsman.
Well, we'll see you on the field at some point, but we'll see you, of course, at the banquet in a couple of weeks. And, Jason, thanks for taking the time to get us caught up.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kev.
You've been listening to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Northwest Technical College and Bemidji State University. You can catch the radio show Saturdays on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 in Bemidji, B93.3 in Brainerd, and Kick FM in Alexandria. And, of course, multiple times a week, we'll have great stuff for you right here on the podcast. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast has also been sponsored by Visit Bemidji.